in verse 4 here of chapter 8, I think we see what this leads to, right? We've been talking about, I think we primarily, and correctly so, are focusing on ourselves and this dilemma we face. And now we find the solution is in Christ. The Spirit's come. And what is it for? Well, it is for a life that, in effect, does more than fulfill the law. And what is that purpose of? To bring glory back to God. That is God's purpose. That our lives are a reflection of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring glory back to God. And it's a shame we have to stop at verse 4. And I'd encourage us, because we're not going to do it this afternoon, to read the rest of this chapter at home. Because it's maturing us, it's bringing us along. The Christian's experience is unlike anything outside of Christianity, because it's an individual now led by God's Spirit. They're a son of God. That's in verse 14. It's someone who every experience now in our life has a purpose for good. Why? Even the bad experiences? Why are they good? Why are bad experiences good now for a believer? Because they're used by God to conform us to the image of His Son. That is why they're good. Even the bad experiences, they bring out characteristics in us that good experiences can't. And why? Because we are more conformed to the purpose of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what does that do? That brings glory to God. So, it's not just the fact that we don't have to live a life of defeat, and we can live a life of victory. But, ultimately, we become people that are reflecting God's glory and bringing glory to God through our changed lives. It's amazing, the changed life of a believer, what it has in this cold, dark, hopeless world. It just stands out. And people just marvel. They mock it, they berate it, but they marvel. Because it's so different. And that's for us.
I want to just bring out about Jonah for a minute, because I think it applies to what we're talking about. Jonah chapter 2, and just verses 8, 9, and 10. Jonah 2, 8, 9, and 10. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. The Lord spake to the fish and vomited Jonah upon the dry land. And I just observed, the Lord brought to my mind about Jonah. Salvation is of the Lord. That's what we're talking about, right? In Romans 8:1. We get our eyes off ourselves instead of thinking about the Lord there. But I noticed that he talked about other people. This is a tendency. When we're in Romans 7:2, I found it. Well, you know, like Peter said, what about this man? And the Lord said, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Right? They that observe lying vanities, what's that got to do with Jonah being in the thing? You know, I will sacrifice to the Lord, what is it? That's good. I will pay that vow, that's good. Salvation is of the Lord. Boom, that's when we got spit out right there. Salvation is of the Lord. That was the trigger right there, wasn't it?
I would like to say something verse 3 comes into the picture. And I think verse 3 is very important for all of us to understand. Because the reason I say that is that there are people who might say, Christ Jesus would have sinned, but he did not sin. And they base it on that verse. One of the verses they base it on is that the verse 3. And verse 3 reads, I'm going to read it from the New Translation, if you will. For what the law could not do in that, it was weak through the flesh. God having sent his own Son in likeness of flesh of sin. Brethren, we have to keep in mind that the Lord Jesus in himself, he knew no sin, he did no sin, in him there was no sin, and he was separate from sinners. That is the fact of the person and who Christ Jesus is. When it comes in the likeness of it, and I like the word likeness, because it speaks of resemblance. That is to say, when someone, it's very simple, every time you see a body, right away, the natural or the common understanding, these bodies are tainted with sin. You know? But Christ Jesus, when he came to the scene, he resembled that appearance. Mm-hmm. But in reality, he knew no sin, he did no sin, and in him there was no sin. So we want to set the record straight as far as verse 3 is concerned. But he came in the likeness of it. That's why in the previous chapter, we are in the likeness of his death. Why in the likeness? We resemble his death. But we didn't actually die. And it's the same word that's used in verse 3, that he resembles these bodies or flesh of ours resembles, but the reality of it, his body was never tainted with sin. One would say this, and I always say it, brethren, we would never dare to bring it to our own lips that Christ Jesus was made sin if the scripture does not record it. So I want to set the record straight. Verse 3, it's in the likeness, resembles, but the Lord Jesus did no sin, in him was no sin, but God wanted to judge sin in the flesh. And he prepared the perfect body of Christ Jesus, and he said, that's the body, I'm going to take care of sin in that body. And God, you know what? Let's leave it there. Mm-hmm. There were 3 hours of darkness, brethren, and it was darkness so that you and I would not be involved in that scene, because we will never understand it, we will never fathom it, and we thank God for that. So let's not go there. I just want to say that for the record. We can move on.
He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. Mm-hmm. That we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness. Now, whose stripes we are healed.
Notice that the sin was condemned. I think we mentioned, someone mentioned before, it was not forgiven. The sin in the flesh was condemned.
Yes.
God did not spare.
Yes.
He spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all. And it's something that we must look at with quite careful hands.
Much reverence.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. But it's a finished work.
Amen.
One of our hymns says, thine eyes shall weep no more. Yeah.
I'll tell you what I think sometimes, dear brother. Sometimes we sing that hymn of the Lord Jesus, and all the love that dwells in thee was laboring in thy breaking heart.
Hmm.
And sometimes I apply the same stanza of that hymn writer to our God. I mean, just imagine. God spared not his son. Do you think that was easy, brethren?
No.
That was not easy.
I would just like to say this on the topic of those 3 dark hours, that certainly those dark hours were like the curtains.
Yeah.
In which inside God was dealing with sin, him and his son, and we have no part in that.
No part.
But to help us to be worshippers of that, think for a minute that God, who in a moment brought the universe in 6 days, everything, he could have in a moment. He said it, and it was so. Life was there. In no time. And us at the rapture, in a twinkling of an eye, we don't even know what twinkling of an eye, how fast it is, God's going to usher us into glory. It seems insignificant for God to bring anything in existence in a moment. But he would take 3 hours to deal with sin. Can we not see the measurement? Think of the law of relativity. We've been talking about laws. The law of relativity is simply this. I'm a layman, and somebody said, this is a layman's term. If you're at a wedding and you're enjoying such an event, every hour seems like a minute. And the day has passed by so quickly. But now, if you are at the hospital in severe pain, waiting for the doctor, every minute seems like an hour. So what was those 3 hours for our blessed Lord on that cross for us in those darkness? An eternity for every minute, you might say, or for every one of us. He suffered. And then we could go back to verse 1 of chapter 6. If understanding this, shall I continue in sin? Shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? If I understood what it cost the Lord Jesus, shall I continue in sin that grace may abound? If I've understood, God forbid.